Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this April 4th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. In part two today, we're going to welcome in Father Weller in Assumption from Assumption Catholic Schools. We'll be talking with him about Assumption's talent show that is coming up right around the corner. Right now, in studio, and always feels good to say that, our friend, Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krugen with us right now. Scott, good to see you, man.
Good to see you, too. So, speaking of Assumption talent and talent shows, how about that girls basketball team?
Woo.
That talent, that is tradition now. Like when I was in high school, it was Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln High School wrestling.
Yes,
now it's Assumption High School girls. Like, that's nice to have a team that is just dominating every year. So congratulations, team. Congratulations, Assumption. Great job.
We were talking about this on Playmakers the other day and how fortunate we are in this area. And a lot of communities can hang their hat on certain things, but you're so right, man. Whether when we were kids in the program at Lincoln with wrestling and some of the swimming when we were kids, area has really been represented on the sports field a lot. And we appreciate the Lady Royals. Great work by them. Also appreciate, and I imagine you want to know, add on to this with me, Scott. We just wrapped up an election this past Tuesday.
Yeah.
Do you want to thank everybody?
Great timing.
Right? Yeah. It just worked out.
Right.
Really do appreciate all of our poll workers, all of our volunteers, everybody out there helping democracy ring and keep going here. You, I imagine you have some thoughts or some takeaways from the election?
I've got a great story. Might take us a while, but we'll get through it. So Tuesday, I decided to volunteer as a poll observer at Central Count in Milwaukee,
right?
To just see the process, because everybody gets the bad connotation of late night ballot dumps and all these things that happen in Central Count in Milwaukee. I'm like, you know, I just came off a week's vacation in Myrtle Beach. I'm digging back out. I'm ready to go to finish the election. I'm like, let's just get down there. We'll just grip it and rip it, right? So got down there, and probably 100 individuals processing the absentee ballots, about 50,000 absentee ballots they have to go through from 7 a.m. until they're done. Most years it's been a little slow, to just be honest. It takes sometimes till 3 in the morning for those results to come in. The rest of the state feels like they're being held hostage waiting for that last result. So we did let Milwaukee know ahead of time we're going to be down there, and lo and behold, they started early. Got going at 7:30 in the morning. I got there in the afternoon just to watch and talk to all the observers and watch the interactions between the poll workers, or not the poll workers, but the ballot sorting and the tabulating teams and the observers, and to just figure out all the connotations. I asked the Milwaukee mayor to go down and meet there with me, so he and I met at Central Count. The Milwaukee election commissioners were all there. I made the chief commissioner give me a tour with the mayor. The Wisconsin election commissioners were there, and they saw us, the mayor and the commissioner and I, touring. So the Wisconsin election commission, like, there's a whole cabal of us just going through these places. And observers had some issues about some rooms that weren't being allowed to be observed. So I said to the mayor, and I said to Paulina Gutierrez, the Milwaukee election commissioner, I said, can you just show me every corner of the building? Like, just walk me through. Like, I don't need to be in there all night. I just want to know what's going on in there, because people are going to ask questions. They already are. So I literally saw every room in that building, every access point to go outside, how to get inside, where all the ballots are, where all the extra ballots are in case they run out. Like, I got to see every single thing, right? So about... polls close at 8. The election tabulators were getting pretty far in their process, had about 40,000 ballots out of 50,000 processed in Milwaukee about 8 o'clock. About 8:15, we got the call that the constitutional amendment had passed statewide. That was a pretty quick call.
Yeah.
The next race to be called was the Schimmel race, and I was watching results come in while I'm observing all this stuff, and I knew the Schimmel race was getting close to being done. So all of these, I call them passionate individuals who are observing, who tend to have some problems with the process sometimes, who told me that their sole mission was to be there to make sure that this process works from start to finish, want to make sure everything's fine, and I agreed 100%. That's what we have to do. It's the price of democracy. But as soon as those statewide races got called and everything was looking like it wasn't going their way, they didn't seem very content to finish the whole process.
Yeah.
Well, that was a bad taste.
It's
right?
a very, very nasty taste.
It was bad because it was 9:30-ish, and I was sitting there with, and I'm friends with a bunch of them, right? There's just some that are way further out there. And they walk over like, okay, nice meeting you. I'm out of here. I'm like, yeah, but you didn't see them, you know, they cleared the the cards and they're putting them in their machines now. You want to watch them, mm-hmm. you know, get the tabulator data onto the data card. You want to watch the commissioner take the card over to the courthouse. Like, and you want to be at the courthouse to watch them upload it. Like, nah, it's done. Like, no, it's not done.
Yeah.
Like, can you, you know, if you want to go through the process, let's go through the process. So it's great to have 100 observers watching 100 people working, but I just wanted people to be a lot more honest about why they're there and what they're doing. Like, if you're going to observe and just see it to the end to see actually how good of a process it actually was this time, it's not been in the past.
Yeah.
I grant anybody that from 18 to 20 to 22, it was not always a great process. The process on election night here in April 2025 was smooth. I posted that.
Yeah.
I talked about it on X. And I've never been hated more in my life because I talked about how clear and concise directions were, how good the communication was, how I was able to go anywhere. And you get the ultra, ultra, ultra far out people out there who didn't, oh, you're a liar.
Yeah.
No matter what I say about it.
Right.
There's nothing I can do, right? So you just have to understand, in this job, in this world, you cannot take it personally. And that bled over this week into some folks here locally who caught on to this individual who, you know, brazenly want to try to disrupt.
Hmm.
And my wife's on Facebook just like I am.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday she was basically at the point where she was at tears because of the personal attacks that people would throw at me on Facebook for telling the truth. Had to have a conversation with her again. Like, we've been at this a long time. Ebbs and flows, people like you, people don't like you. I said, I don't want you to worry about it. I can handle me. Like, I got my you know what together. Like, I don't, like, the guys that clap back, I told them, you need to call me today. We had a 45-minute argument. In the end, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But I just think people have to take time to understand that if you have questions, if you have concerns, the first outlet isn't X. The first outlet isn't Facebook. The first outlet isn't Instagram's whatever else is out there.
Yeah.
The first outlet is the cell phone I'm holding in my hand literally 18 hours a day.
Yeah.
The number that I give out to everybody in every community I represent at everything I do, posted on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
It's 715-323-3293. It is as simple as a phone call.
You find out real quickly where people stand, whether it is the people leaving in the election early. You find out right away they don't care about all people. They just care about themselves and what they're doing. And where people come from on this one when they bark on social media, but they won't reach out to you.
Right.
If you really want to be heard, you're not sitting there leaving comments on Facebook or Twitter or anything like that. You're actually reaching out to a representative. It is the equivalent of you don't like the gas prices and you're yelling at the clerk. The clerk doesn't do that. The clerk is just doing a job.
Yeah,
you're right. Yelling at the wrong person. You're not actually getting anything done. You're just a dog that wants to bark.
Yeah.
You are a keyboard coward. You are the definition of that. And I stand on this one, and I'm only speaking for myself, but I got done talking about it on the morning show earlier and immediately got a message from somebody because I said I don't read comments.
Right.
Because I don't.
Right.
If you have something to say to me, good, bad, whatever it might be, I give you a billion times a day how to contact me.
Yeah.
Reach out to me like an adult. Now, if you are 10 and you're listening to us, I don't know why you're listening at 10 years old. I mean, we appreciate it. That's cool. But I will give the grace to that. If you are under the age of 18,
yeah.
Then outside of that, though, you got no excuses.
Yeah, and
there
that's
are a billion
thing,
ways to contact. And real quick, Scott, I'm sorry here.
No, you're good.
There is no excuse in the world to go after anybody's family members. Right. You are the definition of a coward, and I stand on that. And if you have a problem with it, again, you can contact me directly. Yeah. I won't be seeing it in the comments.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I only bring up that story to reiterate that people just need to get out of their echo chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, take 5 minutes and go to an event where somebody's at and just ask a question. Like, even when I was in Central Count and people saw me taking the tour and going in the so-called secret rooms, I came back out and then the rest of the night they came to me saying, hey, could you ask them about this? I'm like, maybe you could ask them about this and not have to rely on me to ask them about it, but I'm happy to do it. That's my job. I just want people to be able to talk to each other, for God's sakes. It's such a lost art at this point that I don't understand the challenge. So, I mean, it's a different world, and I get that, and we have to adapt to it. But I'm still going to push back on people saying, hey, don't send me a form letter in the email from somebody that heard something about something else. You know, don't just drop a message somewhere and hope that I'm going to respond. Like, shoot me a text. Give me an email. Give me a call. Take 5 minutes to articulate what the problem is.
Yeah, if you really care, right, then we want to hear from you, right, and there are plenty of opportunities for you to be heard. Right. This isn't difficult, and if you have questions about our election process, guess what? You can be a part of it, yeah, not only by voting, but by being a volunteer and being a poll worker, yeah, or something like that.
Every election, they are dying in every community that I represent for people to maybe. So here's a bill idea that we had. And I'll bleed into that a little bit. One of the ideas is we see early voting as such a accepted practice across the state right now, and every bigger municipality has the ability to provide, as unlimited early voting hours as they want. Mm-hmm. But my smaller municipalities, through Adams, Wood, and Juneau County, there are a lot that just can't afford to do it because our clerks work full time somewhere else. If somebody's really concerned about access to voting or being able to cast a vote or being involved in the process, go to your local clerk in these very small townships and ask them if they can deputize you to be a clerk so you can actually open that office for people to come vote early.
Yeah.
Like, so we're actually going to do a bill that's going to require every municipality in the state to be available for 20 hours a week to provide early voting hours, and we're going to pay for it from the state.
That's really cool. Actually,
the money's really there, cool, right? We've got money right now. We're not going to agree on how to spend it. The governor's not going to sign our tax cuts. We're not going to do all the extra spending he wants to do in the budget. It's got to go out the door, and the best way to spend it is on election integrity, mm-hmm, and getting rid of these perception problems. My biggest problem, though, is I need people.
Yeah.
Like my clerk in the town of Findlay, she has been there for 52 years.
Wow.
She's in her 80s. Mm. She's to the point where nobody in that township wants to do her job as a clerk, that they are looking at the point of dissolving the town because they cannot get people involved in running the town government.
That's heartbreaking.
It's craziness. Oh,
that's rough.
Right? So there are definitely ways that I can deal with it. I told this individual that I was conversing with about the Facebook stuff. I said, I have to take enough heat and deal with enough issues from people who already don't like me. Like, I'm pretty sure I don't need that from friends. Like, I need you to be a help.
Yeah.
We're great at identifying problems. Mm-hmm. Everybody can identify a problem. Mm-hmm. You can't help me identify a solution, you're going to get less time.
Yeah.
I can't, because there are so many things we have to solve. Not even just the election stuff, but even up the road here at Domtar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are working on a huge project in the state budget right now just to protect the jobs at Domtar, because the federal government has come through and said they have a dam that's got a problem in it up in Rothschild. Huh. So they've come to us and said, hey, can you help us with funding this dam project? No, that's radio acceptable to say that way. But our problem there is, I've got the money, I've got the political will, I've got the skill and, mm-hmm, the knowledge to put it all together, mm-hmm, and present it, get it through the legislature, get it through the budget process, get it to the governor's desk and probably get the governor to sign it. But the current Supreme Court has a case pending right now that gives the governor unlimited veto power on bills that aren't even fiscal at this point. They had just heard it this week. So the legislature is like, well, if the governor's going to have unlimited veto power on every bill that we write, how do we write a bill? Mm. How do we trust that he's not going to do this? And it goes back to the same message I started with today. It's communication.
Mm-hmm.
Just sit down with each other and just say, okay, this is what we want to do. Can I trust that you're going to leave it alone because it's important to central Wisconsin and the 1,000 jobs between Rothschild and Nakusa? I bang my head against the wall and I take heat from both sides too much for saying this, but common sense is not common anymore.
Yeah.
You've really got to work for it. You really got to dig for it. You really got to find it. Mm-hmm. And once you do, you got to exploit the living heck out of it, because you're not going to find it again soon. So we got 100 issues going on between now and the end of our typical budget process that we're trying to solve on, elections and local projects and all these things that have to develop a trust relationship between the executive branch and the legislative branch, because we know that the judicial branch, which is another thing we're working on, is saying, okay, can we quit calling that a nonpartisan race?
Mm-hmm.
For God's sakes.
Yeah.
Nobody in this country can tell me that a Supreme Court race in any state is a nonpartisan race anymore.
I think ownership and owning things and not trying to, use kid gloves talk out of one side and talk out of both sides of your mouth. Mm-hmm. I think we're asking for that more in almost every level of society nowadays, especially with our politicians. We've got rid of shame. Shame doesn't exist anymore, especially in the political world. Yeah, right. So what's the holdback? I mean, why can't we go the other way with it too, where, you know, you're owning things or something.
And, it's the same thing in those campaigns in these nonpartisan races we see statewide, whether it was the DPI race, the Supreme Court race, our town clerk races, our dog catcher races, if they're nonpartisan dog catcher races anymore. There are not a lot of them, but I say this all the time. It's like I can sit here and I can talk as nonpartisan as I want. But everybody has some sort of a partisan streak.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can we just be honest about it and put these things where they need to be on our ballot? So in a low turnout April ballot election, people just have not grasped the concept of voting in the spring as much as they do in the fall.
Yeah.
If it's an important election and people are talking partisan issues in the election, it should be in front of the voters on a November election, instead of an April election. The chips fall where they may. Like, sure. Was I disappointed with some of the results on Tuesday? Sure. Am I going to affect my family relationships or my friendships with people over them? No.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this isn't life and death stuff.
Yeah.
Like, if your guy doesn't win on the November ballot, it is what it is. We move on.
Yep. This whole thing keeps going.
We forgot how to move on in this country because in a race April of 2025 where a candidate lost by 11% statewide, people still want to yell and scream that there was fraud.
Yeah.
And we need a recount. And that was somebody else's fault. I'm like, so literally getting to the point to go onto social media and say, hey, these are the 12 stages of, or the 5 stages of grief.
Right.
The 12 stages of recovery. Like, can we just start this process of just, instead of losing, like, and I give Brad Schimmel all the credit in the world. His acceptance speech was great. Like, said, hey, I...
Well, that he gave one.
Yeah, right.
that we already got to get started.
Came out
there
a little after 9 o'clock. He said, I've already called Judge Crawford. I told her congratulations. People in the crowd started booing.
Yeah.
He's like, no. It's like...
Yeah, what are you doing?
I was like, no. Like, he goes, the numbers aren't going to change.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't happen this time. I'll come back. I'll try again. And to his credit, that speech gave him the opportunity to come back next time.
Right, right.
Instead of somebody else who ran for U.S. Senate... who went the other way in November and said, well, I'm still looking into, you know, I didn't really lose. I'm like,
yeah,
you know, so I mean, it's just being gracious and being accepting and knowing what your limits are. And
I think a good way to wrap with you, Scott, and I appreciate all your feedback and everything or your take on that one. We're speaking with Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug right now. And Scott, you recently were a part of an all voting is local forum in Milwaukee. I wanted to pick your brain and find out how that went.
Yeah, it's been a Milwaukee month. Spent a lot of time down there. I should like rent a condo somewhere in Lake Michigan. But
it's a beautiful spot right there you're talking about.
It's cool, right? So we went down, I think this was the St. Patrick's Day, I think it was,
Yes.
We went down there. So Lee Snodgrass, the ranking Democrat on campaigns and elections, who she and I have been great friends on issues we agree on. We're not friends on issues we don't agree on, so we don't talk about those. So I had an idea that I got a hold of Sam Liebert down in Milwaukee. He's testified on a few bills, and I said, Sam, if you ever need me down there for anything, happy to come talk. So he's like, okay, well, here, why don't you come do something like this? And he, to his credit, I said, I don't just need it to be me. If you want to bring anybody else, bring whoever else. So we had the League of Women Voters. We had All Voting as Local National Representatives, Lee Snodgrass, myself, Disability Rights Wisconsin. Just talking to people in a room saying what we agree on, what we don't agree on, how we can move forward. Some things, whatever things we need to put in the closet, we just don't deal with.
Yeah.
And you know, I think Lee and I, to Lee's credit, we did a great job. The advocates pointed out things that they thought worked in Milwaukee and don't work for Milwaukee. We take those into account. And I described to them how I knew that the photo ID idea was going to be constitutional.
Mm-hmm.
We need to accept it. And whether you like it or not, it's been in place for 10 years. It's going to be here forever. How do we adapt?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want me to do next? Right. Yeah. So, you know, there's always consternation about the indefinitely confined exception in photo ID. So we're talking with the disability rights groups like, I don't even need to know if you're indefinitely confined. Like, there's a way that I can capture your ID and not have to worry about your medical condition, make you a permanent absentee voter. Can you get on board with that?
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly how these forums lead to those ideas that end up changing our system to get rid of perception problems. So driving to Milwaukee for an afternoon is so worth it.
And on the other side of that, Scott, just to pull this all together, the work and the information that you received from people, from constituents in a adult way, mm-hmm. and them actually talking to you face to face or being a part of these listening sessions or a part of something like this, this is how you get heard. This is how an adult gets things done. Mm-hmm. If you really want to get things done, this is one of the ways you do it. It's not leaving a comment on X. Yeah. And it's also, think about this yourself to anybody out there who is in this realm, in this category. How often have you responded to people talking to you that way? How often have you responded to people reacting, treating you and your loved ones that way? Do you find yourself immediately wanting to be a good listener, or how do you react?
I've told you this story probably a few times. Like, if I reacted to people the way they choose to act, my wife would not let me run for office ever again. That has been number one rule at home base, is like, don't talk any crap about anybody. You talk about you, otherwise we're out of this. I'm like, yes, dear. No problem, dear. Like, so that training comes through in times like this. So I got to thank Amanda. She did a great job
teaching
me up on that.
A big shout out to her. And an appreciation to you and your staff, especially you not only being here today, Scott, but answering those questions in those town halls and those listening sessions and like you've been doing. Looking forward to getting together next month, talking some brewers with you.
Yeah, we'll let them develop a little bit.
You notice I did that, right? And we appreciate you, Scott. That number you were mentioning earlier, people want to reach out to you.
715-323-3293. It is on maybe 20 hours a day at this point instead of 18. So,
and I want to remind everybody as well, Scott's got a great e-letter that you can sign up for and get all the information we were talking about today and so much more, along with something we don't get the chance to talk about very often, a lot of the school visits and things that happen at the Capitol.
Yeah, at Pittsville and New Lisbon this week. I mean, all you got to do is shoot me an email at rep.krug.legis.wi.gov. I mean, we do videos, so you don't have to read it. I'll talk about everything in 30 seconds on a video instead of reading it for 5 minutes. Try to condense it and make it as easy as possible.
Shout out to Emmanuel Lutheran that got to be over there little while ago. That was cool. Good to talk to you, Scott. You take care. Safe travels out there.
Yeah, too, man. Thanks.
And we'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here at WFHR.